Now, if you get ready to do a rollover because you leave your job, you always roll over all retirement plans from your old job when you leave to a new IRA. Move it to some good mutual funds and a good IRA, spread it across those four types we talk about. Always take it with you. And the reason is very simple. Back at the old company, you got problems interacting with them now because you don't work there. Hard to deal with HR, hard to get your options, hard to get your statements, and you only got 10 or 12 options to pick from anyway back there, right? Over here with my IRA, I got 8,000 mutual funds I can choose from. I got total control. I know what's going on. So increased options, increased flexibility, increased control. So always take it with you. And if you do a direct transfer, which is the only way to go, do not bring the money home. Make it a direct transfer. If you do the direct transfer, what you're doing is you sit down with your mutual fund broker, your endorsed local provider or whoever, you fill out the forms to buy the mutual funds for your new IRA, and you fill out one more form called the direct transfer form. They send that form back to your old company. Your old company sends the money straight to the mutual fund, not to you. If they send it to you, they have to withhold 20% on it, and you're going to get taxed and hammered and all this other stuff. You want the direct transfer. So in a sense, what we're doing is we're going over here with the coat, and we're getting us another mutual fund, and we're going, come here, come here, right? And then we get it back warm again. So that direct transfer costs you no taxes. There's no withholding, no problems, no issues. You just moved it to something that's within your control and giving you many, many more options, which is definitely the way to go. When it comes to retirement plans, never borrow on your retirement plan. How many of you know that you're allowed to borrow on a 401k at most places? Raise your hand. Never, ever, under any circumstances, ever borrow on your 401k. Was he unclear? I hope not. Never borrow on your 401k. Major problems are created. One little problem is that people say, well, you know, I'm borrowed on my 401k because I got credit card interest over here of 18%, and I can borrow there at 5%, and I'm paying myself back the interest. Well, that's really cool, except for the fact that you unplugged a mutual fund that might have been paying you 12 or 15% that year in order to pay yourself 5. Something wrong there. And you paid yourself 5. I'm confused as to how that worked out for you. This is something to think through. The biggest problem, though, with this is the problem is when you leave your company, you will be hit with a call on that loan. You have 60 days to pay that loan back. And if you don't pay it back within 60 days, they're going to hit you with a 10% penalty, the IRS is, plus your tax rate. So you're going to be hit with about a 40% hit. So if you got a $10,000 loan over there, they're going to hit you with about $4,000 when you leave your company. And you will leave your company. You will. When you get a better job, when they lay you off, or when you die. Now, when they lay you off and when you die are not times that you need to be having an extra big tax bill due to penalties. You set yourself up to make bad times worse by using the wrong kinds of vehicles when you borrow on your 401k. So if you got a 401k loan, don't freak out. Just put it in your debt snowball. Get it paid off. Never do that again. Now, I'm going to go borrow on my 401k and pay off all my debts. Wait a minute. You can't borrow your way out of debt. You got to pay that back. You can't get out of a hole by digging out the bottom. That doesn't work. And isn't it funny how we use words like that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Bible says. We say, I borrowed to pay off my debts. You didn't pay off your debts. You just moved them. And you moved them, in this case, to a worse vehicle than you had before, even though it might be a better interest rate. But you set yourself up for serious problems. Our suggestion for investing is this. We're going to do 15% in baby step 4 of our income into retirement. 15%. Say it one more time. 15%.
15%.
That means if you make $100,000, we're going to put in how much?
$15,000.
So if we make $50,000, we're going to put in $7,500. So you real quickly take your household income, and between her 401k, your 403b, and Roth IRAs, somehow we got to get to 15% and no more. So here's your order of attack. The first thing you do is if you have a match, you fund up through the match. How many of you have a match at your work? A bunch of you, okay? The match might be 3%, it might be 5%, it might be 6%, but very seldom is it 15% of your household income. So you take the match that you can get. Let's say we're dealing with that $100,000 couple and they had a 3% match on both of them. So they could put $3,000 in there and get a 100% match on it, right? So we're going to do the first 3% in the match. Then the next step is above the match, do the Roth IRAs if you qualify. Now, if you're married, filing jointly, you can do two of those. That's $10,000. Now, we got $3,000, 3% going with the match. We're going to do two Roths. That's $10,000. Is that $13,000? Are you with me? Say yes. Okay, we're still only at 13% though. So we've done two Roths and we've done the match. Now the last step then is you complete your 15% by going back to your 401k or other company plans that are available to you and go ahead and round it out. And so we got to put another 2% into the 401k. So translation, three with a match and two without. We're putting 5% in the 401k and we're doing a couple of Roths and that got us to 15% with this example couple that I'm walking through. So that's how you walk through it. You take the match is best, the tax-free growth is next best, the non-matching pre-tax is next best. And you walk right down that list and fill out to your 15%. Not 17, not 28, just to 15%.